This podcast is powered by The Plug.
Welcome to the No One Cares podcast, everybody. I am your host, Devin, a.k.a. Devin No One Cares, on all social medias and all social platforms and all that. This is a show where every week a special guest joins the podcast to talk about the different struggles Black and Brown creatives face during our journey to success. Each conversation is really dedicated to providing motivation and, of course, inspiration for the other Black and Brown creatives to strive for the limitless possibilities that we have in this life from somebody who actually looks like them. So let's let go of all the problems of yesterday. Let's embrace the possibilities of today, and let's get into the show. Y'all, we back for another episode of the No One Cares podcast, episode 10 to be exact, and hope y'all are doing good as well, as always. Now, I'm not going to hold y'all up with a lot of talking in the beginning, because this is an episode that was extremely dope, extremely fun, actually, like a really fun conversation. I love when I just love when everything just flows so organic. That's what the whole show is necessarily about, so I love these organic conversations that grow on the show. Now, I do want to say this, you know, because I know we live in the digital age right now, and, you know, with COVID, we're trying to social distance, and everybody's, you know, connection isn't the same. I know my connection can be trash. So there were some times where the audio may seem a little shaky because we did it over FaceTime and Zoom, but hopefully with my, you know what I'm saying, godly, magnificent editing skills, everything sounds good. But this is an amazing episode. It's an amazing episode. like, this woman... this Black woman has accomplished a lot in a short period of time. And once I really discovered, you know, her talent and what she's done, aside from, you know, moving up and working in so many spaces with Pierre Moss, I mean, she was started off as an intern, you know, she was like the accessory designer, a production manager. I mean, she held a plethora of titles at Pierre Moss because Kirby really saw something special in her. So we talk about her experience at Pierre Moss, you know, growing up in Alabama, and just her overall experience in the fashion industry and so much more. We tap in spiritually on some, like, things that keep us going, which I think is really important. So it was just an amazing conversation. Tyler, thank you for pulling up to the show. Yeah, I don't think there's anything else to be said. I think the episode speaks volumes, so I'm not going to hold y'all up any longer. We're going to get into the show. Don't forget to follow or subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and leave a review, you know, all that jazz. So, with nothing else to be said, let's get into this new episode. What's good, everybody? What's cracking? You know what I'm saying? Another Thursday, another beautiful episode of the No One Cares podcast. Hope everybody's doing good as always. Man, this is dope because, you know, this episode we're recording in the morning, a little earlier for my taste. We're making it happen. And you know what I'm saying? So if you hear me with a little bit of a Barry White voice or a deeper voice than the usual episodes, bear with me and just appreciate that at the moment. You know what I'm saying? That don't come often, so just appreciate it. So let's get into today's guest, man, because this is really dope. I'm really excited for this. And the way that I discovered her is very interesting because, you know, I have a list, of course, as a podcast, I have a list of guests, list of people that I would like to have on the show. And if you know me and you know what the show's about, I'm not typically trying to go for, like, the big names, you know what I'm saying? And, like, really, like, blow my show up with having the people that everybody knows about. I think that Black creatives, do we need that? Yes. But do we need somebody who looks like us, who we can identify with, who's in a different lane or a different part of the industry and things like that in these different spaces? I think we do need that because when we see that, we're able to see that, oh, we can occupy these spaces. Oh, that person looks like me. Oh, I can do this. So I'm, you know, trying to figure out who I want to have on the show and things like that. And so if you know me, you know that I love me some Pierre Moss. I love Kirby. Like, I love Jerry. You know, I love these. It's what they do and what they create and all that stuff, the whole ideas of what they do. So I was like, you know what? Let me really shoot for it. Let me go into an episode. Let me see if I can, you know, land somebody with Pierre Moss, right? So I started doing my research. And, you know, I tap into LinkedIn and all that kind of stuff. And I came across this name. And I'm going to ask her how to say her name first, because I know I don't want to botch that either, because I think I know how it's pronounced, but I don't want to fuck it up. So we're going to see.
Yeah.
But I came across her name, and I was like, okay. And I saw what she was doing at the time, her title, and I was like, okay, this is very interesting. This is cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, let me tap in. I saw the website. Went to the website. I was blown away by the website, because the website, the way it's laid out, the way it looks, I was like, damn, it reminded me that I need to get my website up. I need to get my shit together. So it was a check. But just seeing what she had done and then seeing some of her past work, I was like, it was just really cool, because I didn't want to have somebody on the show just because they worked with Pierre Moss. Like, I would just want to have somebody on the show. Like, that was the root of it, but it sparked me to, you know, find a creative who had been working hard to get to that space, or had, you know, what they had done to get to that spot. Cause that's what creatives can relate to, is like, not where you're at, but how did you get there? Like, what was the work that you had to put in? And seeing the work that she put in to get there, and she's mad humble, but seeing the work that she had to put in to get there, it was really like inspiring to me, and it motivated me. And I think one thing that always motivates me even more is to see Black women occupy these spaces, because I always feel like they have it harder than, you know, Black men in these spaces, and how we try to maneuver. And we have it hard too, but like, sometimes there's just no comparison between the Black man's plight and the Black woman's plight when it comes to these spaces and just, you know, thriving in this world. So it just moved me a lot to be like, you know, she's somebody that I have to have on the show, because I just need to hear how, not just about like, you know, the Pierre Moss experience, but how does her mind work? Like, how did she get to these positions? How did she get to this career? Like, what was it that moved her to get here? So I'm not going to keep on going. I can keep on going. But she's an extremely talented creative who is a professional eye roller. She's a designer. She's a designer, a stylist, a product developer. She's also the former production manager and an accessories designer at Pierre Moss. Now, before I say your name, I'm going to let you say your name so that I don't mess it up. And then we'll keep on going. I'll keep saying your name later on. So is it
My name is Tyler Threes.
I would have messed
it
up.
You can say Tyler. You can say Tyler. Country people say Tyler, but it's Tyler.
See, I'm country. See, my name is Devin Tyler. So when I saw that, I was like, is that Tyler or is it, you know what I'm saying? So what do people call you? People call you Tyler?
No. Most people like, okay, so if I introduce myself and I say, hi, my name is Tyler, then people will say it. But if I'm just like, if I'm meeting you casually or whatever, and I'm like, oh yeah, my name's Tyler, then that's what people are gonna say. But if it's like people that I don't really know, or people that are like seeing my email or something, they never say my name correctly. It's Taylor, or just something that's just like, how do we get here? It's not even close. So yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to say it one more time just so I can get it on the palette and I can keep it going. So okay. It's Tyler, right?
Yes, okay. That's it.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Okay, cool. I think even a couple of times I think I spelled it wrong, like before I emailed it to you. Because it's like the T-Y-L-A-R. Oh, really? And I'm always typing T-Y-L-E-R. So I'm like, And then Google will try to correct me and say Tyler. And it's like, no.
Yeah, Google is the worst, because it's like, no, that's not what I meant. I said what I said. Or like, most people will think that I'm a guy, so they'd be like, hey, sir. It's like, hi.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's, you know, a journey, but we're here now.
See, exactly. That's funny. But I don't know who that email was for, but hi, my name is, and I'm not a male. All right, so.
Right, it's like.
So when we start every show, I like to start off with the mental health check-in. Mental health check-in, just kind of see where our head's at, where our headspace is at, how we're feeling. The mental health check, I try to make sure that I normalize that for us, so that, you know, especially in the Black community, I think we need to make sure that we're taking care of our mental health and understanding how we're feeling, where our head's really at. You know what I'm saying? Not just ignoring that and moving on with the day. Like, it's okay to, you know, feel how you feel and tap in with somebody's mental health, especially your own. So I can go first if you like, and then you can follow up. Sound good?
Okay, sounds great.
All right. So my headspace, my mental health, what would I say it is? I don't even be thinking about these before I like record. I should be trying to think about it in the moment. This is the morning show too, so I am a little sleepy, you know what I'm saying? But I will say, you know what? I'm there. I found it. Okay. So for me, I want to say, and there's no word to describe this, but I think I'm searching for clarity. And I mean searching for clarity, not like I'm trying to get the answers to something in my life, or I'm trying to, you know, not none of that. I think that I'm just searching for a clear space. Like I'm searching for, in my mind, I'm searching for blue skies. I think that's how I could put it. Because I think right now, you know, some things are gray, sometimes it's cloudy, sometimes it's the sun's it's like not necessarily out. Like to me, in my mind, you know, I'm not always happy and stuff like that, but I'm about to get spiritual for a bit, trying to find God's voice again too. I'm trying to make sure I continue hearing that in my life and stuff. So when I say I want to hear blue skies, I want to see blue skies and that clarity, that's kind of what I want to tap into, because sometimes I get caught up in, you know, whatever problems are in my life currently, or whatever is on my mind, or whatever I allow to continuously occupy my mind to where I can't think about how I'm doing, or I can't think about where my space at, or that clarity that I want. So, you know, I tried today to wake up this morning, you know, clean up, dress up a little bit, and just like, I don't know, try to find a way to clear my mind. And it felt good. It felt very refreshing. So I think that's where my mindset is at. I'm just trying to find some clarity, trying to find some like peace of mind that I can hold on to so that I can continue taking care of myself, being productive, and not at the cost of my own like mental well-being.
I love that. Well, I want to say first, before I get into my headspace, that I love that you open with that, because especially in the Black community, and I will say with Black men, we don't always talk about how we really feel. So that is so beautiful. I love that so much. I'm a very big mental health person. So that's like, oh, that touches me. And then I guess to just piggyback off of how you feel, I feel the opposite. So this year for me, every year before the end of the year, I try to pinpoint how I want the year to go and like what I want to embody for the year. And this year, last year, I wanted to be present. This year, I want it to be the year of choice and the year of certainty. So that's really crazy that you said that, because I think right now, today, I woke up, I had breakfast, I did yoga, I always do yoga, and it's this specific one that's like 50-50 meditation, 50-50 actual yoga, and it's based off of scripture. So I start my day,
that's dope,
with God and just like asking for clarity and just making sure that I hear his voice amongst anything else and understand what's being said to me. So I think today I woke up and just felt very full in myself and in God's presence. Yeah. That's how I feel today.
I'm trying to get to that same space.
You know, listen, it's an everyday thing. I'm in therapy. Like I have to, it's definitely like an everyday like choice to be like, okay, this is how I'm gonna feel, this is what I'm gonna do. But I also think that for me to get here, it was important for me to acknowledge that there are going to be days that I just want to be like, everybody can go to hell. I don't like anybody here.
God can't reach you.
But it's also going to be, it's just like, but then other days it's going to be like, okay, like, it's okay that you felt that way yesterday. Today is different. You do actually like these people around you and you're fine. You're good. So that's, yeah, it's a balance.
100%. 100%. I love that. I love that. So, let's tap into the episode. I keep saying tap in. Why do I keep saying that? I don't know where that word's coming from. But
tap in. Shout out, sweetie.
It could totally be that. It could totally be that. I don't know what it is. But I want to take some time back. I want to travel back in time a little bit. I want to travel back before 2015. So around this time, you know, this is before you're making the big moves in fashion where you were in design industry and things like that. So who was Tylar growing up? You know, what pulled you into this field?
That's very interesting. Tyler before 2015. So I was in college. What inspired me to do design? It's very weird because I actually went into the college thinking that I was going to do radio and television. And then I got there and I was just like, I don't want to do that. Like, I talk a lot, but I don't want to talk for a living. It's just, and I've always been interested in design, but coming from where I've come from, I didn't know that it was an option. Like, I didn't know all of the options that encompass being a design major. So one day I ended up just going to the college, like the actual design college, and there was like all these options, and I was like, well, this is what I'm gonna do. Like, now that I know that this is real, this is what I'm gonna do. And so, yeah, that just like in high school, me and one of my best friends, Gianni, we would after school every day go to my aunt's house and like cut up jeans and bleach them and like restructure all types of stuff. But it was just for fun. You just do things with your hands as a kid, trying to be different. And so we were like, oh, we're gonna go to school tomorrow wearing this. Like, nobody's gonna know where it came from. So I guess that is where it actually was birthed. But when I actually really realized that it was a thing was probably about 2013 is when I changed my major to do so after a year in college, I changed my major to do design.
And you're from, are you from Alabama?
I am from Alabama.
Okay,
Do you hear
I
my
have to make sure.
accent?
I'm from Texas, so like the Alabama, I mean, you know what I'm saying? So like I can kind of hear it, but I think, I don't know, these,
It's something that
I'm
you're
not,
used to.
yeah, and I'm not bad with accents. Like people say I have an accent all the time, like when they hang around me all the time, they're like, you have like a Texas accent. I don't necessarily hear it because I've heard of accents where like it's so thick, it's like, damn, I can pinpoint exactly what region you're from in Texas or like where you're at, New Orleans or whatever it is. You know what I mean? So interesting. Just accents are so interesting too. Like I actually love accents because I think it kind of like separates us in a way. It makes us unique and all that jazz, but that's not where I was going. So and help me out too, because I'm geographically challenged. Is Auburn in Alabama?
Yes, Auburn. So, I guess it's like central. I don't. Directions, north, south, east, west, all that. I don't really know. But
Listen,
it's like
I already
it's
told you I'm
close to
geographically challenged.
Georgia.
Close to
It's
Georgia?
like, yeah, it's like 45 or so minutes away from Atlanta, something like that. 45, 50 minutes from Atlanta. So if that helps.
It does. It helps a little bit. It puts me over here. You know, I was over there, over here, whatever. What made you go to Auburn? Was it because of the options that they had, or I know that you started off going for one thing and went something else, but why Auburn?
It has nothing to do with any of that. So, I am a person that believes in signs. And, I think that being an 18-year-old and making a big decision about where you're going to go to school at is something that, people don't really acknowledge. Like, I was young as hell. Can I cuss on here?
Yeah. I open up this whole show
Okay.
cursing, so
Okay. So I was 18. Like, I didn't really want to even go to school. But my mom and my dad were like, either you're gonna get a job or you have to go to school. And I definitely wasn't about to get a job. So I was applying to all these colleges like 2 months before I had to make my decision. Parents were like, well, we need to go see a school. So I was like, okay, well, we can go see Auburn. And when I got there, my favorite name in the world is Lola. I don't know why that's my favorite name. I've always been connected to the name. I love it so much. So we were at the school, and then they were like, okay, we're going to split you all up in groups. And my group leader, her name was Lola. And I was like, okay, I guess this is it. And that is literally how I made my decision to
That is
go to Auburn
nuts.
University.
That is crazy. I did not see that coming either.
That alone, I was like, I don't even know what they have here, but I feel like this is a sign that I have to go here. Because what are the odds that a black girl is named Lola? Like, so That was it.
And that is true. That is, I don't know too many black women named Lola. That is a fact. That's so crazy, though.
That's it.
So you said that your parents were like, you either, you know, get a job or you go to school. So what was it like? Mm-hmm. What was the response when you decided that you wanted to, you know, pursue your passion in this industry? Were they kind of like hesitant and they support you? Did you kind of have to show them before they understood it? What was it like?
My mom is easy. Like, my mom is going to support me no matter what. She's just like, do your thing. Like, I think I've always been the one that's just like offbeat. Like, everybody always knew I was going to be doing something. My cousin has been calling me Hollywood since I was like 5. So it's just like, they knew something was up. So my mom just allows us to be who we are, which super, super grateful. And my dad does as well, but he is the one that's going to ask questions. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, what are you doing? And so my dad thought that I was playing. Like, he really didn't think that I was about to do this. He was just like, okay, so when are you going to get a real major? And I was like, I have one. I'm doing this. And it was just like, like, what are you going to do? Like, you're going to be Tommy Hilfiger? And I was just like, are you crazy? So I had to actually show him. Like, one day I just sat down with him and showed him all the stuff I had been doing on my computer. And he was just like, oh, wow, like, you're actually good. And I was like, yeah, thanks for joining the team.
Better late than never.
So, yeah, it's like, you know, finally, you see I'm not playing around and wasting people's money. So, yeah, that my dad was a little bit of a, you had to convince him to get him to understand that I wasn't playing around.
That's dope. I mean, at least they came around and supported you and eventually, like, really believed in it, even though they did, like, question it a little bit. Did, like,
yeah.
Who were some of the people that, like, inspired you in that space early on?
So, funny enough, I didn't go into school being, like, doing design, but I actually got a scholarship because I wrote about the Black designer Stephen Burroughs. It's really weird that I was like trying to avoid this destiny, but everything was aligning up for me to do this. So I wrote an essay about him. And I guess just like design and clothing has always been something that I've been able to express myself with. So actually, I guess there wasn't anybody in particular other than him that I was just like, okay, this is what I need to do. More as like actual brands. Like, I always love like Chloe and just brands that most people weren't wearing. Like, I never was drawn to like Gucci or Louis Vuitton or anything like that, because that's something that we always see. I was more drawn to designers that, or brands that people didn't really know. And also just like, me wanting to be a designer, I knew I wasn't going to be able to be a doctor because I just don't like shit like that. I'm nowhere near serious enough to be able to cut anybody open, and I think it's disgusting. So I would cut somebody up and be like, okay, I'm going to throw up. Yeah, so it's just like me being able to, thinking about the bigger picture and being like, okay, how can I make somebody feel better about themselves? And because I relate so much to dressing, and this is how I make myself feel better, this is how I feel powerful, it was like, it's only right that I become a designer and help other women and just other people feel the best that they can be. Because I feel like even on your worst day, if you put on a fly ass outfit, it's just like, I'm that bitch, you know, period. So that's what made me, that's what influenced me to keep going, rather.
I like that. I like, do you listen to this lady named Young Baby Tate? Do you know who that is?
That feels familiar, but I don't know.
She has like this song, she just dropped a new project. This is totally unrelated, but she has this song that she dropped, or an album, and one of the songs in there, she's like saying a bunch of like affirmations. And one of the things she said is like, I'm gonna get the bag, you know, I'm rich, I'm that bitch. And like, when you said that, was the first thing I thought was that song. I gotta send it to you.
Yeah, send it to me.
One more thing before we kind of fast forward into, you know, more current times. The visual merchandise design portfolio award that you got in 2015. I know, right? I know. We're going back. We're going back a little bit. Now, I'm pretty sure it may seem kind of small in the grand scheme of things, but what was that? Like, how did that award come about? Where did that come from? Like, what was that whole thing about?
That's crazy because I don't think not many people know about this award or what it took to get me there. But your research is crazy. So I was in a visual merchandising class and we were split up in groups and we had to do actual displays in the college. And then we also had to do like a whole notebook of like visual merchandising, like what colors go together, complementary colors, like all of these things. And it was a full semester of like a notebook display. Like I would do displays in my notebook and also, physical displays. So we had checks along the semester and if we were doing good, if we were doing bad. And then at the end of the semester, when we presented everything, our peers would vote on it. The night before, I was supposed to turn in my little notebook thing. It was like a visual notebook, so PowerPoint, whatever, Prezi, mm-hmm. whatever the fuck I used at the time. it was like my computer was acting so crazy. And I was just like, okay, I'm gonna go to the library. It's fine. I never go to the library. I probably went to the library 5 times in my college career. but I was like, okay, this is very important. I'm gonna go to the library because I just can't crash. Got there, I'm doing my thing and I went to save it. The computer started acting crazy. So I called over the little girl and I was like, please help me so my shit don't crash. She comes over and she like touches buttons and like, it should work out. I'm like, okay, cool. The computer comes back on. My thing did not save. It was gone. And so I'm freaking out. Like, I'm like, I'm gonna go fight this girl. She deleted my whole thing. I have to fight her. So I'm calling my mom. I'm like, yo, I'm about to fight this girl. She deleted my thing. Like, it's due tomorrow. This took me all semester. What am I supposed to do? My mom's like, girl, just pray about it. It's okay. And I'm just like, priorities hands. We're not saying the same thing. But in the end, I ended up emailing my teacher. It was like 12 o'clock at night. I emailed my teacher. I was like, yo, my thing crashed. It's all gone. I promise you. And she was like, well, I'll give you tomorrow and the next day, which is not that much time. And so I just like, I literally didn't talk to anybody and I focused and I like got it done. And then nobody, like my classmates didn't even know that my shit had crashed. But still like on whatever that I even finished it. And then my teacher came and she was like, well, it looks like it worked out. Like, it looks like it was better than before. I was just like, well, obviously I won, but thanks.
That's crazy.
But yeah, it was just, you know. Yeah, I still don't know how I pulled that off, but.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you or your company are looking to jump into the podcast world, now is the time. The Plug Agency is here to connect you to the full power of podcasting. You just record and leave the rest to us. The people are listening and want to hear from you. Theplug-agency.com. That's theplug-agency.com. Click the link in the episode description for an exclusive offer.
911.
What's your emergency?
Yeah, somebody's just broke into my house.
Okay, we'll get a unit over shortly.
Okay, please hurry.
Real quick, can you verify your race for us?
I'm white. I'm full white.
Okay, can you answer a few questions just to confirm?
Okay.
Okay, how do you feel about Black Lives Matter?
All lives matter.
Nice. Did OJ do it?
Yeah, he did it.
Okay, who's the best boxer in the United States?
Jake Paul.
King of R&B.
Justin Bieber.
Okay, last question. Say ask.
X. Oh, fuck. No. Hey.
That is nuts. All right. So in 2017, 2018, we're going to fast forward a little bit. We're finally catching up to the times. Internships came about for you. One thing that I wish I could have done when I was in college was do more internships. I was too busy working full time in a whole other city and then going to work, you know, working full time in another city and then coming back to, you know, another city to go to school. And I was always back and forth. So I never had time for internships. Now, even while you interned, you still held down positions like showroom assistant, raw materials assistant. Like, what was the importance for you to intern and like continue kind of like doubling up on the experience earlier? Because I think that played a big role for your career going forward.
So my first internship, which was with Marquesa, I actually did that internship because to graduate, you had to do an internship. Mm-hmm. So that one was kind of forced, but I am thankful that I got the internship that I did get because I feel like I learned so much. And because of the company that I actually worked with at the time before all of this Me Too happened, it was a notable company. So, I don't remember what I was talking about, but so yeah, I do, like, I am grateful for that internship. And then I did a Sally LaPointe internship right after I graduated. So I do think very much so that my internships helped me. I guess it helps you to put your foot into the industry without having so much responsibility. It's kind of a test to see if you actually want it bad enough, and it also gives you enough experience so that when you are looking for an actual job, like, people know that you do have some type of experience with doing what it is that they are expecting you to do.
That's dope. That's super crazy. So then, now, speaking of internships, before, you know, we actually hop into the Pierre Moss internship, I have to ask you, there's one thing that I saw, because it seemed like it's a very brief, thing, but it's also like, it's like a flex in a way too. It's like, damn, like, you just did it for that short period of time, but you worked with them doing this. So you got to work with Genius as a head stylist, yeah, for this particular shoot where you styled Amelia Mernez, and I'm pretty sure I'm not adding the proper accent on that name, but it was for an open mic performance that she did, and like the guest J Balvin Colores Collection collaboration. Uh-huh. How did you land that? And what was that like? Was that in New York as well?
Yeah, it was in New York. Okay, so I've done styling before. Along with, like, when I was doing the floor assistant job in college. And then I also worked while I was in college too. So I would do merchandising and client consulting at the boutiques that I worked at. So I do have some styling experience. And because of that, like, just, like, different connections, I would send them my portfolio and just my resume and stuff like that, and just ask, like, can you just keep me on file? So if something comes up, like, I am available to do these different things. So it just so happened that a connection, shout out Uday, reached out to me and was like, hey, we have this opportunity coming up. She doesn't have a stylist. Would you like to style this shoot? And I was like, yes. Like, this is amazing. I would love to be the head stylist. Like, absolutely. So, you know, God looked out and they looked out, and I was able to do that, which is so amazing because I did not expect to have anything. Like, you know, when you tell people, hey, like, I have this experience, like, keep my resume, whatever, like, you never know if people actually do that. So yeah, for someone to actually have done that and to thought of me, I was just like, wow, this is crazy.
That is super. That's a hell of an opportunity too. Yeah, that's so crazy.
It was amazing.
And, you know, I think I skipped over something. So the opportunity was in New York. Did you eventually, well, eventually you did move to New York, correct?
Yeah. So I came here in 2017 to do my internship, which I thought I was going to graduate, but they ended up telling me I had to come back for the winter semester to finish a class. So I had to move back to Auburn. And then I graduated in December 17. Mm-hmm. And then 3 weeks after my graduation, I moved back to New York in January 2018.
Gotcha. Okay. I was thinking about that. Like, did I ask how she ended up in New York?
Well, I got an internship and they were like, you start. So I moved to New York, like, January 20th, 21st. And then I started my job like the next Monday. So they were like, damn. Hey, we need you to come right now. So, yeah.
That's good, though. That's a big transition, too. And to get that work that early, to kind of start getting on your feet early, that's big. That's really important.
For sure.
So a lot of people probably think they don't know what it actually takes and what actually goes into what you do. And I think that when it comes to, like, you know, styling and designing and all the things that you do, I don't think people, average people, especially people who are mainly the consumers, I don't think they understand or respect, you know, what that entails. You know, they think that, you know, anybody can dress, or, you know, certain people can dress. They think it's so simple, but in reality, it's much more complicated than it may seem. You know, and to me, it's always been so unique, because when it comes to this, the whole, you know, the styling and the design, the canvas is the person, you know what I'm saying? And the art that you build around that person, you know, that's the art that you're creating. And on top of that, you know, it's also about, how can you make this person feel good? How can you make this person not just look good, but, like, you know, what about them and the way they carry themselves and their style? How can I incorporate that into, like, there's all these things that I don't even know that I'm open to still learning about. But, you know, how do you do it? Like, how do you do it? And what goes through your brain when you create these kind of things and have these kind of projects?
So with styling, what helps me is just, like, I look at people's Instagram and talk to them for a little bit just to get their personality. Because, like you said, it's definitely the person that you are addressing. So I go off of energies, and I got, like, I don't know if anybody's ever said this to you before, but I see in color. So when I look at a person, or when I just look at anything, it's like, okay, like, these colors make sense with this person, because colors are energies. Everything is an energy. So if you say your favorite color is red, that's a specific energy. If you say your favorite color is, it's like, everything relates back to, like, your soul, your spirit, and what you actually put out into the world. So I try to get that type of information by, like, looking at the person, talking to the person, and seeing what comes back to me. And then that's how I end up dressing somebody. But you also have to, in that, you have to consider the person's, like, safety net, their comfort zone, and their body type. So putting all of that into one thing is, you know, it's kind of like an art piece. It's like, how am I going to make this person feel like how they feel on the inside, on the outside? And then with design, I kind of go about it the same way, but, you know, you don't have anything to look at. Like, somebody might have an idea, and then it's your job to interpret that idea. So let's say if somebody was like, hey, I want to have a collection about fish. And it's like, I don't know anything about fish. Like, I don't even eat fish. So I just, like, you do research. And then on top of that, you, like, look at, I like to look at the different types of, I would look at the different types of fish and the different colors, and then put that into something that makes sense. So I make a lot of mood boards, color boards, and just play around with, like, different silhouettes. Because if you have a collection, you can't just, like, make a bunch of fish outfits. Like, you actually would do, like, some blues and some oranges, and just, like, bring out everything, like the ocean that fish live in, you know, that type of thing, to make it all make sense. But you have to do it in an abstract way, so people aren't automatically like, oh, this shit is about fish. It's actually about the bigger picture. It's all about the bigger picture.
I totally respect what you do. I'm going to say it right now. That fish example had me rolling the whole time. I was like, yo, can you imagine?
I don't know why that came to my head.
Like, imagine doing a whole shoot where, like, the whole centerpiece is, like, salmon and, like, catfish. And, like, I was like, yo, that is nuts. That is nuts.
But, you know, but, like, sometimes it's that simple. Like, sometimes the smallest thing inspires somebody, and it turns into the most beautiful piece you've ever seen.
That is certainly true. That is crazy. I mean, and I love hearing you say that and break that down, because to me, it just goes back to what I was saying. Like, to make that kind of art in that kind of way, not everybody can do that. There are some people who aspire to do that or have their own, like, kind of mindset. I know that, you know, like photographers need styles. Photographers try to tap into that whole kind of stylist mindset when they do these shoots. Like, I know there's different areas where the experience, or not the experience, but like the knowledge and the skill that you need kind of cross over. So to hear you say that and break that down, that's so crazy. Especially when you like say about, talk about how you see in color. The only person I've heard say that, I've heard a couple people say that, but the only person that I like truly remember saying that is the legend, and that was Pharrell. He was like, I see sound in music. Like when I hear a song, I'll hear blue or I'll hear red, which to me is so crazy. So to hear you say that you kind of see people like that, see that kind of design and that stuff in color, I love it. That's just super crazy.
It's really crazy. Like when I say it to some people, they're like, what are you talking about? But it's just like, it's what makes sense.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, is like, it's not about like you said, people are like, what are you talking about? I don't think it's necessarily about like trying to grasp the idea so that you can like make it make sense in your reality. I think it's also just like understanding that person's like process. Like, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people hear somebody's process and they're like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't do it like that. And it's like, no, it's not about how you do it or how you would do it. It's about understanding what makes that person unique, because that uniqueness also makes them successful, makes them good at their art. So it's like sometimes you're not going to understand what they do, but you can respect the way that they approach what they do. So I love it. Now, in 2018, you know, we're doing a little timeline thing here, timeline dance. Okay. This is when you become a studio intern for Pierre Moss. Now, how did that opportunity come about? And like, what was it like being a part of not just the idea that Pierre Moss is, but you know, a well-known black-owned business in the fashion industry, where I feel like there's not too many of those, especially to that caliber. Like, what did it feel like being in that position, and how did that even happen?
Okay, so when I applied for Pierre Moss, I actually had a job at the time, but before that even, my brother had introduced me to Pierre Moss a couple of years before while I was still in school. And I really thought it was amazing how someone could talk about like things that were happening to Black people in such like a light with Erykah Badu. Just like, I adore her. So that was something that made me just admire the brand and want to continue doing what I was doing, because you don't really see Black designers. And when you do see them, you don't see them talk about like police brutality in the Black community. So anyways, fast forward to 2018, I saw the runway show and I was like, I told my roommates, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna work for this company. And everybody was like, okay. And I was just like, yeah, okay. So I didn't even know if they were hiring at the time, but I applied, didn't even think about it. I just like sent my resume, sent a cover letter and applied for it. And you know, big mistake, because I didn't even write my cover letter. It was just a cover letter I had saved. So I think that was in like October or something. And then I was like, okay, Tyler, like, why did you do that? So then in November, I actually took the time to redo my resume because it needed. And then I also rewrote my cover letter and made it personable and actually like laid out why I was doing what I was doing and why I wanted to work for the brand and why I felt like I would be a great fit. And then I heard back and I was like, what the hell, what am I supposed to do? I felt like I was in over my head, but I went in and had an interview and the interview went well. So right after the interview, I called my mom and I called my roommates and I was like, yo, I just had an interview with at Pierre Moss. And they were like, what? Because I didn't tell anybody. I just went just in case I didn't get it. I didn't want to talk about it. So I was like, yo, I had an interview. And so then I got another email, like a follow-up for another interview, which ended up actually being me being hired. And I met Kirby that same day and we just like started going from there. And as far as like, what was the last part of the question? How does it feel to be in a Black-owned business? I had never... out of all the places that I've worked, I had never worked with any more than two Black people. Like, sad. Since I had been in New York. Yeah, it's... Black people in the industry is very few and far between. And it's very unfortunate because I think everything derives from Black people. So exactly. For us to be so few in the industry, it's really sad. So coming from that, being either one, just me, or having maybe no more than two other Black people in the same building as me to and a Black-owned business was just amazing. Like, I had never been surrounded by my people in such a creative space. It felt like I could just be myself and actually bring things to the table that people would acknowledge. Like, my ideas, my thoughts, the things that I have been through will actually be seen because we tell our own stories.
That sounds like the fucking dream. Like, not just working for Pierre Moss, but just the whole experience of it all. And like you said, like somebody actually valuing your ideas and like your creativity, and to be, you know, a Black person, a Black woman in a space and see people every day that look like you, who think like you. And like, man, so there's two questions derived from that. And one is probably the most obvious. Now, you know, like I said, I know you love Pierre Moss, and I love Pierre Moss, but I can say, this is not like a slight to Pierre Moss, but I can also say that like Kirby and like his journey and like his way of thinking is like a big inspiration for me, right? So you said that, you know, you got the position and you met with him. What was that like?
Honestly, the first thing that Kirby ever said to me was, hey, this is going to be like the biggest episode of Making a Band. We'll see who makes it. But no, Kirby is actually like he is a very deep thinker. Everything that he puts out, he's thought a lot about. Like, but he also has a very like different side of him, like a business aspect. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm making these moves because I know this is going to be great. Like, not just because whatever. So he is definitely like something to look at and to admire, because it's like, everything is not about the creative. Like, you have to have two parts of your brain. You can tell all these stories and make all these beautiful things, but one, what are you standing for? And two, how do you make people listen, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but he's also, I think, because Pierre Moss in itself is already such a big thing that when people see Kirby, it's just like, oh my God, like, this is Kirby Jean Raymond. But it's also just like, you have to look at him as a person as well, because if you're just exactly. sitting there in awe, it's just like, you gotta get shit done today. Like, you can't just sit here and be like, oh my God. Like, it's just like, you have to actually do work and do things. And if you're sitting there and just like, oh, this is so crazy, he's gonna be like, okay, are you
nigga,
scared?
Did you do anything? What did you do today?
So, you know, that part, I think, like, when I first met him, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe he's here. But he's very, like, in touch with what's going on in his company. So it's not like we sit there and just work and not there. Like, it's like, we're all doing this together.
That's crazy. That is super nuts. Like, that was my thing too. Was that, like, you know, I think people get, especially now in the social media age, people get lost in the idea of like, people are still humans. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think we grow up not being able to see these people or like know these people, and we idolize these people or whatever it is that we do. And then when we see them in person, it's like, you know, we want to talk to them about like, oh my God, I can't believe you're real. I can't believe I'm here. Like, all the things you do, you inspire me. And that's cool, because like, that's just genuinely how we feel. Like, we genuinely want to give, you know, flowers and give back what they gave to us in that moment. But it's also like, at the end of the day, like, we have to be careful with that, because the difference between me and you might be like, of course, it may be the level of success in what we do, but we still bleed the same blood. We still share the same thoughts. We still share the same, like, we're still happy. We're still sad. We still have our bad days and good days. We have more in common than you may think, aside from like the things that we have or the career that we do. You know what I'm saying? And when you really melt things down like that, you're able to kind of approach somebody and be happy in that moment and be like grateful and, you know, at all or whatever, but then understand like you're in this position with them and that, you know, it's your time to shine, your time to do what you got to do. And like mm-hmm. that person is, they're extremely talented at what they do and they're blessed, but that doesn't make them like not human. So it's
right,
like,
exactly.
Yeah, it's super dope. So another thing I want to ask you, man, see, I'm about to get into the talking mode. there was a second question I want to ask. I think it was, yes, there we go. As a black woman, you know, and some of the challenges that you face in this industry, and I don't know what the challenges have been yet, but like, actually, that's a better question. What challenges have you faced in this industry as a black woman, and how do you feel you've kind of grown as a woman to this point?
You know, this is a great question because I think it's becoming more evident that black women are not listened to. So highlighting that, I appreciate you. I think, you know, before I got to Pierre Moss, it was always like, I don't think that my opinion was ever really valued. So throughout all of this, like my career, which is not that long, but throughout the time, well, I guess I can consider college too. Yeah. I've had a lot of experiences where professors have, like, one specific example. I was given, I think, a C, which in at my school, if you got a C in a class that was your major, that's failing. I was given a C, not because my work wasn't great. I was given a C, and another classmate who was white was given an A. Her garment was not complete. It did not have any type of closure. It was pinned up on the dress form. Mine was complete and it was good. But my teacher told me she gave me a C and the other girl an A because she knows that I could have done better. And the other girl just needed to pass. So it was just kind of like, okay, but that's not how you show somebody that they can do better. And then, as an actual professional, I had a boss tell me, you know, I know that you're trying to bring different things to this company, whatever, whatever. But if you don't listen to me, I can ruin your career and you'll never work in fashion again. So actually trying to be silenced, like people have actually tried to silence me and, you know, kind of just make you not want to continue doing what you're doing. But I think because of all of those things and then actually ending up doing all of the things that I've done in such a short period of time just has helped me to be able to not back down and trust that I have a God-given talent. I'm covered. And that if I believe that he will do it for me, it is done. And not allowing anybody to shut me down just because it's not something that they're ready for at the time doesn't mean that it's not correct. Basically just believing in my voice has been enough ammunition to keep going and to keep doing what I'm doing.
Does that answer your question? That answers my question and that makes total sense. And a special fuck you to the professor and whoever told you that they'll ruin your career. Like,
yeah, big ridiculous. Fuck you, because look at me now.
Yeah, like people gotta understand, yo, the more that you shit on black people, you're just like putting yourself in a shitty position, because one, racism and like this whole, like, it has no place anywhere. When you bring it into all these places, eventually that shit's gonna spill out. And we're seeing that with 2020. We're seeing that with now.
Absolutely.
Like, you know what I'm saying? People see that shit. You know, I was on a Clubhouse a couple weeks ago, and actually, funny story. So I was on a Clubhouse. It was when they had just announced that Jerry Lorenzo had went to Adidas. And Jerry Lorenzo, you know, tapped in a Clubhouse for like the first time ever. And Kirby, who was actually early on in Clubhouse too, was in the room. And it was really cool because they were, for a certain point, they were kind of expressing how much they meant to each other. Like, that they occupy these spaces and being black and what they do. And it was really cool just to be a part of. But then they opened the floor for questions. And one of the, a couple of the white people who were into like the industry and stuff like that were asking questions. And one of the questions that this white woman had who worked with, she was at a certain position, like a managerial position with like Kith, I think it was Kith. Mm-hmm. And she had her own brand, and she was asking like basically how can she make and design like pieces and like try to be for the movement, you know, try to be for the liberation of Black people and the social injustice. How can she speak to that as a white person in her like art and her like material without coming off as, you know, like just trying to be an ally in that space with what she's creating and things like that. And in my mind, I was like, you can't. Like in my mind, I'm sitting on it. I'm like, you can't. Like you really can't. Like at this point, the damage is been done, and like there's been people who have capitalized off of this shit for a long time. And like you even saw it now at 2020, Black Lives Matter. Everybody was posting the black pictures. Everybody was with us. And fast forward to now, half of those companies haven't mentioned black people since then or any other issues since then. Like, you know what I'm saying? So anyways, it just exposed a lot. So in my mind, I was like, it's not possible. You're just gonna have to be an ally yourself. And I don't think you necessarily need your brand to be an ally. It's like, what work do you do as your person? You know what I'm saying? So that question got asked. Somebody on the stage, I don't remember who it is, some black person on the stage like laughed. And I was I was like, yes, that's why I love my people, because we gonna say shit as it is. And then somebody was like, Kirby, do you want to answer that? And Kirby was like, I'm gonna actually go ahead and I think Jerry's is probably the better person to answer this. And like and people started laughing. And Jerry did pick up the question, and he did answer it very the best way that he knew how, and I think it was a great answer. I can't remember what the answer, because it was a long-winded answer. But yeah, I just think like it's so shitty that we don't occupy more of these spaces. That's why I'm so glad to see Pierre Marsh do that and Jerry do that. And like, it's just shit. Like, we are fashion. We are the culture. You know what I'm saying? None of that shit move without us. None of that shit, like, you know what I'm saying? They always use us to market it too. Like, they use our bodies to market their apparel all the fucking time. So the fact that they shit on us behind closed doors and try to silence us, especially black women, it's like, it's shitty, and I think that needs to be told more, and there needs to be more justice done in those industries, because so many people want to be in those spaces. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely. I think, you know, but what's important is that, like, now more than ever, and unfortunately, certain things had to happen for these type of conversations to be had and things to be acknowledged. But I will say, just for any black girl out there, like, no matter where you're from, no matter what you want to do, like, continue doing what it is that you want to do, because at the end of the day, like, hard work and passion and true, like, God-given talent is going to shine regardless. Facts. Because like you said, you know, you can be an ally, but actually being able to tell that story, you have to go through it. Like, for me to be able to tell certain stories and do certain things, I had to actually go through it. I had to be a black woman to be able to tell a black woman's story. You can't just try to emulate that. You have to be that. And black women are always needed. We're always going to be the idol. We're always going to be what people want to be. So as long as you continue to be a beautiful black ass woman, you're gonna be needed. So just remember that.
See, I might be on standing on top of that. I'm gonna let you get the last word on that, because that is all true, all facts. What do the kids say today? No cap? No cap in that at all. No cap.
No cap.
Now I know we're talking about Pierre Moss, and I want to go back to it a little bit, because what blew my mind about your trajectory, and you mentioned it earlier, how, like, you know, it didn't seem like a lot of experience, but to me it's to me, yes, it's in a short period of time, but like, I think that with your career, maybe you don't give yourself enough credit, and it's understated how much experience you've been able to gather in this short period of time. Like, to me, sometimes, like, I mean, for me, I mean I didn't necessarily know that I wanted to go into marketing, into like the fashion and footwear space, until, you know, recently. But I've always been into marketing, and I do still want to be into music and entertainment, but due to just like, I don't know, I just wasn't, I wasn't able to get the experience that I wanted so early on. You know what I'm saying? And I'm getting it now in my like 20s and stuff. But, you know, to see your, that's what blew my mind and inspired me when I saw like your resume and like what you've done in your career. Cause you've gotten so much experience and you moved up quick, like with Pierre Moss. Like let's really talk about it. You went from a studio intern to like, you moved up so fast in 2 years. You know what I'm saying? How did that happen? And what do you think, looking back at it, what do you think that says about your work ethic and the talent that you actually possess?
Honestly, you know, you keep saying that I'm humble, whatever, but I think that like, I think that a lot, like when you're in something, you don't really see what it is that you're doing. So I think a lot of me doing the things that I've done, it's not really to get to a certain place. Like, it's just, that's just how I work. I just see a goal and I just try to get there. Like, I'm not trying to be somebody's boss. I'm not trying to be number one. It's just like, if I see something and if I have an idea or whatever, like I'm going to work to get to that goal and present it to people so that we all reach the bigger picture. Like, my goal is to always make whatever I do and whoever I'm working for or whatever, the best that it can be. So I just do my best and then it just ends up being whatever it is. But okay, so I was an intern, yeah. And I'm 26 now. Mm-hmm. When I first started at Pierre Moss, I was 24. Mm-hmm. So I thought, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm about to quit my job. Well, I quit a job, got the internship, and then was also working another job. So I was like, I can't believe I'm about to be an intern again. Like, I'm 24. But then it's also just like, you're never too old to learn. So don't ever like feel like, and even you, like, don't ever feel like you're behind or whatever because you didn't get internships when you were younger. Like, you're never too old to learn. So don't think that a position is below you because you never know what it's going to turn out to be.
That's true.
So I was just like, well, this is the company I want to work for. And if what they're hiring is an intern, I'm going to be a fucking intern and I'm going to be the best intern. And so I think just going into it, I didn't really know what I was going to be doing. And I'd done production and I was like, well, I know I can do this. And so I think what helped me to move up is really just not being scared of Kirby or being scared of work, and also not being scared to work with people that were already there. Like, I've never wanted to walk into it and be like, okay, I'm gonna take somebody's position. Like, I wanted to add to what was already there. Yeah. So it's just like stepping outside of yourself and actually being like, hey, like, I do have ideas, but I'm gonna talk to everybody about it so that I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. I'm just here to create beautiful things and tell a story. So doing that and like gaining Kirby's trust and the team's trust, it allowed me to actually move up very quickly. Because then I was a freelancer and then it was like, no, you can't freelance, like, we need you here. And so then I started working full time. And I also like, I don't know if you can tell, but I don't take shit and I don't really back down from a challenge. Like, if something presents itself, like, it might be hard, but I was like, I'm gonna crack it. Like, this is not gonna defeat me. So having that type of attitude helped a lot as well, because it's just like, this is a big deal, but I'm not gonna let it flop. Like, I'm not gonna be a flop. So, you know, I guess that's just the motivation.
That's crazy. I love that. That's good. That's good stuff too. Like, especially when it comes like the advice you were giving, you're never too old to like stop learning. Like, that's how easy we forget that at times. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So there's a couple more things I want to ask you before we get ready to get out of here. And one of those things is this question is kind of tied into a two-part thing. So if you could describe to me kind of like how would you describe like your last role? So your last role with Pierre Moss. That's when you were a production manager and accessory designer, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what did that role kind of like look like for you? Like how did that role work? Like what was the daily workings of that role? And what was the most memorable experience that you've had thus far? And that doesn't even have to necessarily be with Pierre Moss. It could just be in general. But what's been the most memorable experience you've had thus far?
Okay. Kind of correction. With my final role as assistant director of design and production. But,
My bad.
I was doing the same stuff. It's okay. It's fine. which way is easier to explain this? So I got production manager, I don't know. Kirby, we had to take a trip to Portugal to do like production stuff. And Kirby liked the way that I handled myself and how I handled everything that was going on. And so he was like, yeah, like you deserve this. So going into the show, I was actually promoted to production manager. And then one day, randomly, like he had a talk with me and he was like, you know, you're gonna design accessories. And it blew my mind. Like I was just like, what? Because I had done accessories before, but nobody knew that. Like that's nowhere. Like it's not in my portfolio. It's not on my LinkedIn.
Yeah, it's nowhere.
No, it's not, because like Erica Badu said, I'm an artist. I'm sensitive about my shit. Like I didn't go to school to be an accessories designer. I went to school to be apparel designer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't really show that because it's something that I've taught myself. But I'm an accessories girl, so I'm not just this high stepper dresser. I put on what makes me feel happy. So on most days you'll probably see me with like a vintage t-shirt, some baggy jeans, some type of boot, and a cute ass bag. Like my accessories, my earrings, my rings, my bags, my shoes carry the outfit. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy what people notice, because you know, you just put on shit and go about your day, but Kirby noticed that about me. And so he was like, you're going to do the accessories. And that's how I ended up doing the accessories. Like somebody else seeing something in me that I'm actually, you know, pretty good at.
Crazy.
And then the production thing was just, like I said, you know, it was natural. I had done production before. Kirby liked the way I handled myself when situations for production came about. So that's how I got that. And then... as far as my favorite, you asked what's my favorite, most memorable experience.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's hard because I've done a lot and there's been so many crazy things. Dang, is this going to be a head ass answer? I mean, I can't really pick. Like, I can't pick one specific thing that's my favorite. So I'm gonna just say, I can't. I'm gonna say, I would just say being here in general, like being able to just do things that I love that I never thought was possible is my favorite thing. Like when you grow up and you say you want to be a fashion designer and you want to be in fashion or whatever, like that is... It's always like a real dream. Like, it's just like, you know, like that shit don't really seem real, because it's like, if you're not working for Prada or, you know, the real, I'll just be frank, like the black brands, the brands that black people look up to. Like, if you're not the head of that specific brand, it's just like, are you really doing design? So being able to actually be here, be in a space and be able to do the things that I do as a black woman that came from a little country ass town in Alabama at 26 years old, like that's my favorite thing. Being able to tell my story and do things and just like do it freely is such a beautiful thing to me. And it's something that, like, I really thought that I was going to do this for maybe 3 months and then end up being like a teacher or a doctor. Not a doctor.
You don't like, but you, like, don't want to be a doctor, you know, man. You said that already. You don't want to...
No, yeah. I don't know why that came out of my mouth, because no way I would go back to school to be a doctor. But like,
I never thought that this was gonna happen. So for right. it to be happening, like actually happening, maybe it's head ass for me to say that, but that's my favorite thing.
Yeah, no, okay, yeah, it's not head ass. That's your favorite, most memorable experience, and I think that's once again beautiful. Like to even be at that place and to like really be able to look back at what you've done and to see how God's opened doors for you. I think that's yeah. the most memorable thing experience that you can actually, you know, have. So I love that. And you know, when you said this little country ass girl from Alabama, I finally caught that Alabama accent, so I appreciate it. Finally caught it. Finally creeped out.
I've been trying to hold it together, but
it was gonna happen eventually. It's gonna this little podcast right here is a place of hospitality. So then, you know, you get so hospitable and you get comfortable, and next thing you know what I'm saying, Bama come out, and, you know,
I'm pretty sure though it's just you, because everybody, like, okay, so I will say though that when I first came into the industry, I did try to mask my accent. Like I did not want people to know that I was from the South. I did not want people to know that I was from Alabama, because it's just like
they put judgment
on. Not only am I Black, not only am I a woman, but when people know that people are from the South and they hear that country twang, it's like, you're dumb. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, Southern people are considered dumb sometimes. So it was just like, I already have to advocate for myself so hard. Like, this is something that I really don't want to have to worry about.
Yeah.
But it's hard to mask an accent. Like, yeah. It's very hard to try to do that. And I didn't want to end up sounding like somebody that I wasn't. And I was just like, they're just going to have to get it. And yep. if they don't like this little accent, that's just, it is what it is. So.
Exactly. And like, on top of that, because I definitely get that. And I hate it. I fucking hate it. Especially from being from Texas. Like, you tell somebody you're from Texas who doesn't know Texas, they're like, oh, like, they think fucking Yosemite Sam and you got Western hats and y'all ride cowboys and everything's like, you know how Solange's music video had like the Black men riding on like horses and shit. I mean, that is mm-hmm. an aesthetic of it, but like that's not how I got to this interview. I didn't saddle my shit up when I got here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's
right.
It's shitty that people are that closed minded, but at the same time, I think something about, you know, those accents make you memorable. You know what I'm saying? Like, you may, who's to say, like, you have an interview and you're talking to these certain people all day, and then the woman comes in with the Alabama accent, and it's like, mm-hmm. you know, you're not gonna forget that. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I was in interviews all day, and this one girl, you know, she's from Alabama, and she had like a really interesting accent. And even if that's the only thing that they remember from that, like, sometimes it's
but
that,
it still
like,
gets you a foot in the door.
Exactly. And it makes you memorable, like when you just be yourself. And like, that's, I guess you're saying mm-hmm. that's just a reminder. Like, it just is what it is. They're gonna have to just take it eventually. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's right. Makes total sense. Now, there's one last question before I wrap things up. Okay.
Okay.
And this is a bigger question. And okay. you know, I know you said, you know, wow, you do your research. And I do so much research. I do a little bit because I just don't like to know everything about everybody. So
yeah,
one, I'm not a creep. I promise you, I'm not a creep.
No!
I know that's a nasty setup. I know, but you know, I look at people's Instagram just to make sure that you know okay. there's anything interesting, whatever. And you know, you be living life like it's golden. I love it. You know what I'm saying? And
I saw a post.
And I saw a post, and the post was like from when you first got on Instagram, like one of your first Instagram posts. And it literally just said, like, prayer, patience, and faith. Prayer, patience, and faith, right?
Oh, my God. That's crazy that you got that. I didn't even remember this from my Instagram.
Listen, I'll be digging. I'll be wow. respectfully digging. You know what I'm saying? So I say that to say, you know, I know for myself, I'm constantly working on all three of those things, honestly. Like, I'm forever growing, forever trying to make sure I water all those three gardens for myself. And, mm-hmm. you know, I don't necessarily know if you ever stop, you know, watering those gardens or perfecting those things. I don't think you ever like master them. I think you have to just continuously go and continue taking care of those things because of just the way life is and the things that we go through. And every year is different. Every day is different. But I've seen how much God has blessed you as a creative, ass Black woman, as yeah. we said earlier, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I hear about how important, you know, it is for God to, you know, to lead you in what you do and, you know, and just how spiritually intact that you are as well. So I say all that to say, how important is prayer, patience, and faith for you? And how do you continue to remind yourself of it today?
Oh my gosh, you're gonna make me emotional. That's crazy. You know, I prayer is something that is very important to me. I pray every day. I pray multiple times a day because I think, you know, like you said, some things you never perfect. And I think life in general is one of those things. Like you're never gonna be an A+ student at life,
right?
Because there's always something that you have to learn. So I'm very much like I'm a contradictory person. Like I'm very laid back, but I like to be in control of things. But you know, you're never really fully in control. So for me, prayer is an anchor. Like I have to pray and I have to lean on God so much because it's like, I know I'm not in control, but I need you to help me to let go. So I'm going to talk to you and you're going to tell me to calm down, because I think, you know, life throws so many curveballs and we want to control it. But the reason why we get so stressed out and so bummed out is because we try to control something that God is saying, let me do that. So until you're actually fully ready to let God lead you for real, you're going to be like, looking crazy, like a fucking chicken with his head cut off. So prayer is very important to me, just to stabilize me and to anchor me. Patience is something that I struggle with all of the time, because I like to have things when I want it, and I want it right now. So actually taking time to sit back and listen and allow God to show me what it is that I need to see, when I need to see it, is something that is so hard for me, but it's also something that's very important, because yes, this is your story, but you're not the only person with their hand on the pen. So you have to be able to let God lead you and be patient with how your story is going to unfold, because you can't get all the gifts at one time. Like you get them as they come when you're ready. Because if God is giving you a bag and you fumble it, then you're going to be upset because you fumbled it. But it's like, you wasn't trying to wait to be ready. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then for faith. So as we've talked about, I am from the South. I'm a country girl. My daddy is actually a minister. Not a lot of people know that about me. I'm a pastor. PK. But it's very different though, because faith has always been a big thing in our household. Like my daddy hasn't been a pastor all of my life, but faith has been something that my parents have instilled in me. And I think as a child and just as a human, you reject things because you want to learn on your own. So I wouldn't say that I stopped believing in God, but faith wavers. And I think that I've been put in certain positions to be like, okay, like this is real. Like God is real to me because he's shown me that he exists. Like I know that God lives in me because some of these situations I shouldn't have made it. Some of these situations I know that like there's no way that I would be here without his presence. So those three things are extremely important to me because I've been shown that like as a human, as a little dirty human, I'm not worthy. Not worthy, human, but
that's funny.
Because we're filthy, but
not wrong. Not wrong.
As a child of God, you know, I am. So yeah.
I love Ooh, that.
You made me get deep.
Hey, listen. That's what it's about. That's why, like, I know I said I have topic sheets with questions and stuff, but literally, like, a lot of this shit people don't understand, like a lot of these questions and things, it isn't questions that I'm asking to like do some kind of 60-minute interview or something like complex. Like I'm not, like this is literally I'm looking at people and I'm like, what would I say? Like what would I conversate about? What would I ask? Mm-hmm. And so when I like tap into these different realms of things and I see different things. It's like, let's go there. You know what I'm saying? That's what a conversation is about. Like a lot of people stick on a conversation and they just stick on like what that person does and where it's going to stay there. But it's like, no, you think that person wants to talk about that all day too? Like not other things that pull them to certain places. You know what I'm saying? Like tap into that. But I love what you said in all those answers because, you know, I just said I'm still working on all three of those things because, I mean, even, and we're about to end this, even yesterday I was listening to a sermon about this church, the church that I go to, and one of the things that he had said was like, you know, some of these people who are so successful, it isn't because they're necessarily, sometimes it's not because they're necessarily more talented than you. Sometimes they're like more disciplined. And I was like, like, damn, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and cause for, I mean, for me personally, I know that I lack in discipline for myself. It could be eating. It could be obedience and just like praying when I need to, being still. Like, I still struggle with that because I also struggle with patience. When you struggle with patience, you struggle with being obedient too, I think. And so to hear him say that was like, damn, because, you know, I feel like I'm talented. I feel like I possess what it takes to do something, but it's like, if I don't have that obedience, then I'll never really be as good as I think I am. And that was just crazy to hear the other day. So just hearing you kind of describe and break down how you, you know, prayer, patience, and faith, it's kind of brought me back to that. So thank you for being open and transparent about that. And thank you for, you know, just doing everything you did. We end the show, and it's only right, we end the show all the time with a prayer list. I'm going to break it down real quick just to kind of show you how it works. The prayer list, it isn't like a, and I know you're from the South, so you know black churches can run long. It isn't like that, I promise. It is basically.
I'm like, I need to fill a piece of paper.
I'm going to roll in the church organ real quick.
Okay.
But basically, the prayer list can be as long or short as you want it. And it's, it can be anybody. It could be like, yo, my friend has got to the bag. I want to see him get more bags. You know, cool. You can put him on the prayer list. Or it can be like, you know, like somebody is really sick and, you know, it's not looking good. I hope they get better. You know, there's no spectrum to people you can put on the prayer list. So, yeah. So I'm going to go first, if you don't mind. And then you can follow up. Sound good?
Sound good.
Okay, cool. So I want to start off by putting a friend of the show, special guest of the show, Van Lathan, on the prayer list. I saw a recent post, I think yesterday or the day before that he had lost his uncle due to COVID. That sucks. And I know that unfortunately he's not the only one. You know, like COVID has, I know I personally caught COVID, still don't know how I got it, but I know that sucks. And I'm still battling with some of the like long lasting effects, like, you know, some of the breathing things. So it's tough. Like this whole COVID thing has been crazy. And, you know, every day I've been praying that people stay safe, my parents, everybody. So, you know, to lose somebody due to COVID, you know, it's not under your control and you can just pray for people to be as safe as they can be. It sucks. And so I just want to, you know, definitely make sure I keep Van Lathan on the prayer list. Also call Anthony Towns and his family on the prayer list. He literally lost his mother and I think a couple of other family members to COVID. Like, yeah. And now that he has COVID and he's recovering, it's just like, I can't, you know, and I can't imagine having to play day in, day out. And yeah, my prayers go out to him for sure. I want to put my homie Sin on the prayer list out in LA just because she be like on social media, just posting about her kids and just her life, and like seeing her content makes me smile. And that's not happen. That doesn't happen often on social media when you think that everybody thrives off of negativity. Yeah. So definitely want to keep Sin on my prayer list. Frontline workers as well. Since I'm talking about COVID, I want to definitely keep them on the prayer list. Frontline workers and everyone who has lost someone or is battling with COVID as well. And lastly, I want to keep Tyler on the prayer list. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, this has been, and people won't know this once I get through the editing process, but, you know, this has been a rough episode to get through. But what has made this so dope and so rewarding is the fact that, like, to understand who you are, to get to know who you are spiritually and as a creative, and you're a really good person. You're a cool people. And I know I don't know you for more than today, but like you just like you have a really good spirit. Seem like your head's in the right place, and you seem like somebody who is just a good person, a good person. And I really appreciate that, and I appreciate you even coming to the show. And I know to continue to create, to continue to grow as a person, as a Black woman, and to continue to thrive in these spaces, it takes a lot. It takes a lot of strength. It takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of prayer, patience, and faith, as we mentioned earlier. And as mm-hmm. strong as you can seem and as strong as you can be, as we both know, it's not all just you. So sometimes you need that energy, you need that deposit from a higher power to keep you going. So that's exactly why I want to keep you on the prayer list, so you can continue thriving and doing the things you do. And I can't wait to see what's next.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. So it's my turn.
Yes, ma'am.
I too want to uplift anybody that has been personally affected by COVID, whether it's a family member, yourself. Also, not just COVID, I want to uplift anybody that has been affected by not only just this disease, but any disease, because especially in the Black community, heart disease, diabetes, cancer is very prevalent. I've lost family members to cancer. I've lost family members to heart disease. I've lost family members even to COVID. So I want to uplift anybody that has lost somebody recently from any type of disease, whether it's from something like that or even just mental, because people don't look at depression and anxiety as a mental disease, but it is. So prayers out to you guys, prayers out to anybody that's lost a job or whatever due to this pandemic. And I want to uplift my circle. I want to uplift all of my friends, my family members that continue to uplift me, because, you know, life is hard, shit is hard. And being able to be surrounded by so many amazing people is beyond me. I don't know how I became so blessed to have these amazing people in my life. And I will return the favor and uplift you and your people in my prayers, because, you know, like you've seen me text you and be like, how the hell did you find me? Like, I don't understand. But you're doing all the research that you've done, and I think that this is an amazing platform. I think this is an amazing show. And I think that you will go far if you keep doing what you're doing and have patience and just listen to what God is bringing into your life. You know, there's no doubt in my mind. So, oh, and the last person I want to shout out is, I have a friend, he's homeless. His name is Ray. I have not seen him in a very long time because I haven't been in New York. I've been in Alabama for the past 2 months. So, you know, I just want to uplift him, and I hope that he's doing well.
Definitely want to add him onto my prayer list as well, for sure. Most definitely.
He's a beautiful, beautiful soul.
Damn, that's yeah. Life is crazy. I think that's as simple as that statement is. I think that statement says a lot, because it just differs for everybody. You know what I'm saying? So, woo, I love this, and I receive everything you said too about me. You know, being successful. You know, I receive all that. I receive it all. And man,
I'm like, honestly, and it's not just because you did it to me, but I really feel that way. Like, just talking to you and being able to have this type of conversation with someone that I didn't even know knew I existed, I think you're gonna do fantastic, phenomenal things.
I appreciate it. I receive it. I wear it. I wear it. I receive it. I receive it for sure, and I appreciate it. And like I said, I mean, you never know who's watching. I think that's the beauty of it all. So it's like, you gotta, you know, everything you do,
true,
you know, do it to the best of your abilities, and just be in touch, and you just never know. So, I mean, look at it, you know what I'm saying? So, man, I can talk all day, and I know you can talk all day. So we're going to get ready to wrap things up. If you would like people to follow you and things like that, where can they follow you at on the socials and all that jazz? Where can they inquire?
The only place you can follow me at is on Instagram. I don't have Twitter. I do have TikTok. I guess people follow people on TikTok, but I don't. I'm old lady. I don't be on TikTok for real. So I only got on TikTok because okay. Listen, I told you in the beginning that I believe in signs. So I had an uncle, he was deaf and I knew sign language, right? Mm-hmm. But he passed when I was in fifth grade. He died when I was in fifth grade. So I was still doing sign language, but I wasn't doing it that often because I didn't have anybody to do it to. And so I forgot sign language. Like I completely forgot it. And then this girl came on TikTok and she was doing Black ASL. And I was like, oh shit, like I want to get back into it. I want to remember sign language because I think that is a language that everybody should know because it's, you know, like you can't help it if you're born deaf or whatever. So that's the reason why I got on TikTok because I saw this girl that was deaf teaching people sign language.
No, that makes
I literally
sense.
Only follow like two people on there. It's her and one other person that I don't even know. So, but don't follow me on TikTok if you want to see anything. You can follow me on Instagram. My Instagram is my name without vowels. So it's T-Y, because sometimes Y, L-R-T-H-R-T-T.
There it is.
That's it.
Listen. And if you still can't find her, just hit me. I'll send you in the right direction. I won't send you her TikTok. Right, I'll send you her Instagram.
Nobody's going to remember that. Nobody's going to be able to follow my Instagram.
When you were like, it's my name without the vowels. I was like, nah, I'll just come to me. I'll give it to y'all. Come to me. I know. It's hard. I know. Vowels, alphabet. I get it. But yeah, I appreciate you coming to the show. It's all love. Everybody, thank you for tuning in. Of course. I'm not good at all the, you know, follow on Apple Podcasts and Spotify stuff, but do whatever you need to do on there and, you know, help me out, whatever it is. And until then, I'll see y'all next week. Peace.